So today is the second Sunday in the Epiphany season. Epiphany, as you're well aware, having just gone through the last season, is the season that comes after Christmas season. So Christmas season is the time of the year where we remember and celebrate the incarnation, God becoming one of us. God not just with us in our thoughts and prayers and the things that we see around us, but God who loved us so much that he actually became one of us, not just with us, but also one of us. So that's the incarnation. And we get into the Epiphany season, which starts off with the wise men coming to find Jesus to offer them honor and glory and the gifts that they bring. And of course, being men, they arrive 12 days late. But they get there, and Epiphany is a Greek word which means a showing forth, a manifestation, an appearance. And so Christ, even as a little baby, when the wise men beheld him, they see this shining, showing forth of the glory of God. And this is how we often think of Epiphany, and this becomes the season where we are to think more carefully and closely about all the ways that Jesus appears and shows forth in our lives even today. So be vigilant this week in thinking about what are the many ways in which Jesus shows himself forth. Sitting here now, we see him shining forth in the words of his gospel and of the words of the Bible. We see him shining forth in all those who have come here to worship him. Jesus, living in all of us, shines forth out of us and through us and among us. And as you go, and even when you're alone, think about the other many ways in which Jesus shines forth in the world. And we're given a few examples in today's readings about some of the ways in which Jesus has shone forth to his people in the past. And one of them was something that was rare even in those days, as it says in the text, in our first reading from Samuel, and that is when God appears in visions and dreams, and people hear God's voice. And that can still happen today, but if you're not one of the ones that encounters God quite so directly as this, you needn't worry, because it wasn't happening to everyone in Samuel's day either. But to Samuel it did. And it wasn't necessarily because he knew anything special or more than anybody else. He was a young boy, he was probably about 12 years old, serving in the temple, and it says in our text that he did not yet know God. And so when he heard the call of God calling him Samuel, he thought it was his teacher Eli calling him, and he went three times and went up to see what it was that Eli wanted from him. And Eli eventually himself figured out that it was actually God who was calling Eli. And so this is one of the ways that God works. But one of the thing perhaps I want to impress upon you about this Epiphany season and God showing forth and manifesting himself is also that with Samuel encountering God this way, and our psalmist who talks about God knowing each one of us before we were even born, and knowing the most intimate details about all of our lives, knowing when we wake up and when we go to bed and where we are and what we're doing and how we're feeling, this intimate knowledge that God has of each of us, that we see also in the gospel story, where first God appears to a number of disciples And then one of the other disciples, Philip, goes and finds one of his friends, Nathanael, and tells him about Jesus. And they have a banter and a conversation. But what Jesus says to Nathanael towards the end of our gospel passage was that Jesus knew Nathanael and had seen Nathanael before he and Nathanael had ever come together to meet in the flesh. Jesus, who is God, knows us. He knew Nathanael. He knows us just the same way that the God knew the psalmist, and God knows all of us so intimately before we've even met. Before Samuel had known God, God knew Samuel. Before Nathanael had known God, God knew him, and so on. And so one of the things I would encourage you to think about in the Epiphany season, while you're thinking about how does God manifest himself to us in callings and people around us and the things that are going on in the world and the scripture and so on, also to keep in mind that each God is always ahead of us in all of these instances. God is already there, and it's not him finding us, but when we accept, when we listen, when we look for God, we are found by him for ourselves. It's that when God enters into our life and we recognize it, when we look to it, when we work towards trying to find out where God is in our life, we become found as people, because now we become part of something that is bigger and greater than all of us. We become a part of God's life. We become a part of God's family. So one of the themes that's running in our Gospels, outside of God knowing us before we know anything of God and knowing us better than we even know ourselves, is when God helps us to find him and find ourselves, and we become gods, and we work to do God's will as best that we can. One of the themes running through the scriptures today is to note how interconnected all of us are as children of God. And what I mean by that through examples of the scripture today is that everything that happens to all of these characters and all of these stories has a greater effect than on just that person. And I want you to think of that as well in your life, that when God comes into your life and does something, he calls you to do something, or you take upon something for God, it's not just you, it's going to affect everybody around you. And the examples that were given in the gospel today, I'll just take, I'll take two of them. So Samuel, when he has his encounter with God, he doesn't quite know what it is, and it goes to Eli to figure it out for him. So Samuel keeps going back to him and saying, I hear you calling me, and Samuel says, no, it's not me. And eventually, Eli figures out that it was God speaking to Samuel, and so he tells Samuel, and now Samuel knows. He didn't know that before. We needed both Eli and Samuel for this story to have had any resonance with anybody. And this, in spite of the fact that, as if you read a little bit before and a little bit after, that Eli was not in great favor with God at the time. Eli and his sons particularly had committed many sins. And so God was actually hoping to take away the prophetic calling that Eli had had from his family and give it to Samuel. But it took Eli, someone who was steeped in sin, still to help Samuel. So I want to impress upon us that if we are in sin, or others around us might be in sin, that doesn't mean they're excluded from God's plan. And so perhaps that can give you a bit of hope if you realize that you're not perfect and sometimes you falter, that God can still use you and God will use you to do his work, just as he used Eli and just as he used Samuel, who was just a young boy and didn't really know much. God works in all of us, no matter how imperfect. The other thing about how God works in ways in which he interconnects us all and we're all necessary for things from the gospel passage is that before we get to the passage about Philip calling Nathanael and then Nathanael speaking to Jesus, just before that had happened, all of these people in the story had been going to see John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preaching forgiveness of, well, he was preaching repentance so that people would be ready for the kingdom of God because it was coming near. And when John the Baptist is doing his preaching, he sees Jesus. Jesus has come also. And he says, "Here is the Lamb of God." And because people overheard John, God uses John first to notice Jesus and then to proclaim him. And then everybody else who hears what John says are now given something else. And so what do? Well, one of the people that hears is St. Andrew, who becomes a disciple later. And he immediately hears God, John the Baptist, say this about Jesus, that he is the Lamb of God. And he goes off and he tells his brother Peter. And he brings his brother Peter to come see Jesus, to see who this man is. And now we've got from zero disciples, now we have two. John the Baptist does this thing. He gets Andrew. Andrew gets Peter. And then Jesus continues working on. And he goes and he finds Philip. And Philip sees him and he realizes that this was the one that John the Baptist was talking about. And he too comes to worship him and follow him. And then he has a friend named Nathanael. And so Jesus comes after he's gone to get Philip, and then Philip goes and he tells Nathanael, and then he brings Nathanael to Jesus, and then Jesus meets him. So we've got all of these people that are necessary for other people in order to be brought to God. So one of the things perhaps that we might think about as Christians is to think about how we are all interconnected. And if we don't have relationships with each other, sometimes we might miss what God is saying to us. It's going to be the other people that are going to be able to tell us what we need to know. And sometimes it's going to be us that are going to be able to tell other people what they need to know. Because God wants us all to be a part of a family that communicates and loves each other and serves each other. And so he uses us in ways like this. And I'll just leave you with one last thing. In the gospel today, we hear the expression over and over again from various people, and we hear it in the parts of the gospel that that happened before the gospel we heard today as well, is this phrase, "come and see," talking about Jesus. Come and see. This is what all the disciples are saying to each other about Jesus. This is what Jesus is asking people to themselves, come and see who this Jesus is. Come and see for yourself, but come. You have to come and you have to see. And I hear in this a call for us as Christians and church that this is something that we should be doing as well with the people that who are in our lives, who may not have heard directly what God's saying to them. And so it can be up to us and others like us to say to them, come and see. And they say, well, come where? Well, maybe come here to Holy Trinity Anglican Church and come and see what we're about. See what God's doing in this place and with us as people and how he's affected our lives. And do you want to see something like that in your own life? And I know Anglicans often hate hearing that this is something that we should be doing, but that's why guys like me should need to be saying it over and over again. because that's what we hear in the Bible, that's what we're called to do. And it might seem like it hurts a little bit, and sometimes it's not going to produce the results that you want, but that's up to God. Whether or not we can, we're not the ones that convert the people. We invite them, we help it make it easy for them to come, and then God will take over. But he wants us to do that work for him, to get the people here if we can. And then he will do the work, and they will see the good work that's going on among you. In Jesus' name, amen.